Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League podcast episode number 115. We have a full house tonight with Enda Tracy from the north, Stephen Cronin from the south, and Sean Smith from the mid. I myself is Kevin Ryan, also from the south. We'll gloss over some of the preliminary quarterfinals at the weekend, where it was definitely a bad weekend for the south with three teams exiting the championship. But we have plenty to look forward to this weekend with quarterfinal. It's probably one of the best weekends of the year in Hurling, and it all begins on Friday night in the stadium with Friday night lights. And that's probably, aside from Sars, maybe many people have Kildangan down as the favourites for the championship. Bit of a test though here against Holy Cross. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, well, look, yeah, I have clear favourites in Kildangan for this one. Like, they've been thereabouts over the last decade. Like, they're getting to semi-finals and finals fairly regular, so they've got experience of playing these games up against the Holy Cross team that, you know, they're firmly in bonus territory. You know, they'll be disappointed that they only squeaked through by virtue of this new three-way tie system in the groups. So we're very poor against Temple Derry, with the exception of Dara Woods, who hurled really well. So they'll have a point to prove. But look, they're in bonus territory. It's their first quarterfinal since 2004. So it's a fair gap for a club like Holy Cross, 19 years. So they'll want to be given a good account of themselves. Kildangan, look, for me, they're the favourites for the county at this minute. They're just the more rounded team out of everyone that's left in it. They've been inconsistent this year, but when they click, they're very hard to stop. They're definitely the best team in the county when they're in top form. So it's hard to see past Kildangan, but as I say, Holy Cross, they'll have nothing to lose going into the game. And if like Sadara Woods and Barrett and Brian O'Mara hurl well, you'd never know. But the one thing they won't want to happen is getting a clipping in the stadium and then having to look at the other matches over the whole weekend. They'd want to give a good account of themselves, but it'll be a Kildangan win pulling up, if I'm being honest.
And Friday night lights, lads, I suppose from a spectator perspective, you know, I think it's great. What are your thoughts on that? Like, you know, the be, you know, extending the into the Friday, the players will like it, or
I'll take that one there. We played two championship rounds this year on a Friday night. Nearly wasn't on the lights, but the Friday night games are, I think they're brilliant. Brilliant playing. You're not waiting all weekend for your game. You know, you're in work all week, so the week goes fast enough. Out of work, you're up, you play your game. And from a player's perspective, anyway, from my point of view, and from talking to the few lads that few teammates. Friday games are brilliant. And from, I suppose, a supporter's point of view, it gives you something to look forward to at the end of the week as well before you hit the weekend. I think it's a great idea, and hopefully there's more to come in the coming years.
You'll get people talking, I think, about the weekend, I suppose, Friday. And we'll also talk about the relegation there as well. Stephen, I suppose we'll move on to the end of the team in the quarterfinal after this, but the goalkeepers union with Owen Kelly. I don't know if you saw the goal there, arguably the crucial score against Clonelty there. Made a couple of very good saves in the second half, but might have gave Clonelty up 1-1 handy enough there on Sunday.
Yeah. Look, I suppose being part of the goalies union now, it's hard to be overly critical of goalies now, and especially lads that are used to playing out the field, because you could see it, he wanted to attack the ball. It's just second nature to him. I suppose a natural goalie would have stayed on that line, and it probably would have been a save, you know. And
well, it was a rocket anyway. He might not have entered it if there was a goalie there, but it was a rocket.
But the angle it was at and everything, you know, and it was, you know, I think he made the decision for the attacker there by coming off the line a bit too early. But look, these things happen. I think whether that goal went in or not, Clonalty were just a better team. You know, they were just a little bit stronger all over the field, a little bit ahead, you know. And I suppose with Conor Whelan not being available to start over the illness there the last couple of weeks, it took from the team, the starting team especially. And then when he did come onto the field, it was at the expense of Paul Curran, which would have been another big player for him going off the field. So, but look, Clonalty deserved a win, and I think, you know, Mulhone, they were brilliant themselves, and you know, Mikey O'Shea and all hitting up big scores again, you know, but they were just second best throughout the game. And they had the massive win against Nina the previous weekend, and they upset a lot of people. Owen Kelly upset a lot of people himself, like. But then you have days like the Clonalty day, like it wasn't his strongest game in goal for him. You know, the pockets were a little bit I won't say dodgy, but they put his back man under severe pressure at times, and it probably created a little bit of nervousness in the back line. But I want to be extremely disappointed with the weekend, but they'd be very happy with the year they had. They were written off by us, you know, and they'd be happy enough now to say we told you so when the dust has settled in a few weeks.
Yeah, I think I know you're saying we're Clonalty the better team, but geez, no one coming down the straight, their shooting was a bit more accurate, especially from the few kind of long pot shots. I think they were well in the mix in that game. They might leave a bit frustrated again. Might have been a great opportunity for them to get to a quarter final. But I agree. Let's just say that maybe at the start of the year they would have took it.
Yeah. Look, and I suppose we can't forget the Clonalty had a few poor wides as well themselves in the first half. And was it Young Ferncombe probably could have wrapped it up with the goal chance there that she hit straight at the keeper? You know, that was, for me, that was game over with some time to go, like, at that stage. But yeah, look, again, I think had Connor started and been fully fit, and Paul Curran didn't have to go off injured, you know, the game could have turned a different way, like, you know, because they're some big players for him. And anyone that has to start with the like of them on the bench or take off the like of Paul Curran, that they're going to be on the back foot a bit. You know, there's probably, look, I'd say a quarter final would probably have been a step too far for Mulnahone. Although they've had a great year at in the Dan Breen, you know, many people's favourites probably to finish bottom of the group.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jack Shelley and Mike O'Shea have had definitely two outstanding years in the forwards as well. When you do worry for him, I suppose, replacing Owen Kelly, all those scoring threats, but those two lads have definitely stepped up and hit a new level, I'd say. So, you know, we could have been fearing from Mulnahone, I think, a bit in the South, especially having a senior team up there. But I think they are building a very nice team there.
Yeah. And you know what? Credit to Jack Shelley. He's the player manager. I think he's after doing his crucial two or three times, and to be hurling at that level, to be doing what he's doing, I think is absolutely brilliant. Mikey O'Shea was highly rated for a long time, you know, since his minor days. And I think this year he's really, really stepping up to it with the consistency. You know, he probably could have been a little bit inconsistent last year or two, but the consistency this year has been brilliant. And the scores he's been getting, he's not relying on size, he's not relying on blistering pace. He's just, it's ability, you know, it's a step bang over the bar, and you know, and he's a great man to take a goal chance when it comes his way. So, you know, they'll be all right for another few years.
And just one thing there in Connaught, I think we're saying it there over last of pods, like remembering Farr is probably struggling with scores, like they're kind of relying on Burke for that or scores, but against Mullaghone, like Robert Lyle set up with 5 points there full forward, and like the multiple lads are 2 or 3 points each as well, which, you know, we said they need to be up in it when they get to this stage, and that's what it did. Like, you know, just had enough then in the tank then to see it out.
Definitely, Robbie Doyle caused absolute havoc in there, didn't he, with the pace, and I suppose his work rate. Jack Ryan as well, geez, what a specimen of a lad, as Joe Brawley would say, like, you know, kind of. But you know, they have to go, turn around now, go again. They have the week break. This is going to be, I think, a cracker of a quarter final. You don't know what to make them if they lose this next Sunday, or they're going into relegation. But I think the manner in that win versus Mullaghone, and you worried up north with Tuam, just that this is probably the hardest one of the quarter finals to call, maybe.
It's gonna be tight one way or the other. Last few years with us, we've been just so inconsistent. We put in a good performance and then go out the next day and stink it out of it. I think particularly in knockout games, we've got the quarterfinals the last few years and we haven't played well. Last year included against Killarawan, still only ended up 2 points away from them. I'm still made even more sickening by the fact they went on and won the thing out. But we have had a bit of consistency this year. We played reasonably well in the three matches, won them all. And I think if we hurl well, we can win this game. But, you know, it's all on the day. And when you're playing a sticky team like Nolte, who have a habit of making things difficult for teams, you know, that even last year, as a case in point, playing Thurles and Holy Cross, and you would have half expected Thurles to be winning that game, but just made it a nightmare for Thurles on the day, just really dogged and then leaked it out. But probably, even with Robert Dyle scoring the 5 points, like, I don't know if he's going to, if that's going to be his scoring tally most days out. He's still not natural looking. I don't know who was on him, but he caused him awful hassle. And it was just one of those days where your man couldn't get to grips with him. But we should have Andrew Ryan on him, and Andrew's plenty of experience full back there. He won't be letting Robert Dyle bully him around the field. So you'd be hoping that we'll be in the back line, we'll probably be safe enough, but it's a matter of if we can score enough. And Darren McCarthy's hurling right well. He's been a great addition. Jack Delaney's going well. Mark McCarthy played well the last day. So, look, we're in a good place going in. There can't be any excuses.
You need to hit a new level, won't you, going on that group? You know, going on your group performances there. The Kilran felt, you know, it looked like strong form at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it might not have turned out that way. You were just doing what, you know, Ross Graham McCarthy did.
Well, I always just say to anyone that we softened them for everyone else, you know, at the first day out. But it was a bit of a false result, but look, we got great confidence from that. Probably should have won by more than, that was a 10 points. So look, we've a fairly balanced team. It's been fairly steady all year, haven't picked up any major injuries. Added Mark McCarthy in after being suspended the first day. Everyone's hurling well, they're hurling to a system, the lads have been well organized. So look, if we lose the game, I don't think we'll play badly, so it'll be up to Clonalty. They'll have to play a good game, I think, to beat us. But I wouldn't have much confidence in knockout games, judging on our last few years. But I'm hoping that the lads produce it on the day.
Yeah, two more many people's dark horses. So we'll keep an eye on that one. We won't put you on the spot anymore. So that's I suppose arguably the pick of the quarterfinals. But Sarsfields again after another end of Nina's hopes. Or previously our number one, they might have peaked a bit too early in the power rankings there after their North win. So Sarers, even though I think there was Nina got it back to a point with about 5 minutes, 3 minutes to go even here, Sarers always looked in control. Sean, thoughts on that one?
Another game where we had to grind it out and let a few subs come on at the end to pull away nicely, same as it against Connaught and Upchurch, but like, usually impressed by Shawnee Butler, who got his start, not start, and he had 4 points in the first half. Could have another goal as well. he'd offered a knock in the second half, you know, but then you're bringing on the likes of one person there with 15, 20 minutes to go and he's popping over 3 points. He's setting up scores. He's winning frees. Like, that's what you want to see. Other years, maybe going down the home straight when Neil would have got back to a point, you'd be getting worried looking at it. The one to kind of swing with them, they get to the 7-4, got to go goal, and then Morris had a point in Heffron. And I think they missed the hand one just after that as well. The ball has fell to the left of the post, like they could have been level. But then Billy McCarthy got a cracking goal for us. He finished a 1-2, a ball in from Michael Pearson. Billy, he leapt on the 14 there and he took it in the air and turned and stuck. You know what? A great goal to see. You rarely see goals that are kind of caught and struck as cleanly anymore. You know, with defending being so good and the ball in was great. But we'd be delighted to get the win. Ronan Maher played very well for ourselves there. Jake Morris still was very dangerous, like Paul Maher's kind of on him, but we'd row on our front as well. But overall, we'd delighted with that.
Did you see like Nina's tactics? I suppose they might have made a bit of a hero, Ronan, didn't they?
Yeah, he'll do it all every year. You see the power and he's playing there, like, you know, when they got back into the game, they hit a few long balls. I mean, won a few frees then out of in our half back and around the field because the ball broke instead of working through channels, which Nina were doing, getting the scores off it. So, but then did they maybe see the lights and said, we'll go for it and hit it down? And momentum was waiting. And anyway, if you're hitting the ball, Jake, I think you're going to win it no matter who's in front, to be honest, because some of the ball he controlled there was exceptional at the time with touch, like, you know. So they kind of saw the light maybe with that. But we would like to get the win over Nina because often they've got one over us to mine over the last few years.
Absolutely. I should have said this is, I suppose, with the Toome Finulty game, this is a humdinger of a doubleheader in Semple Stadium on Sunday with Sarah versus Drum. Now the kind of latter game, you don't have much time to rest in your Larish, and then they'll straight
you know, in
Drum, Toome, arguably the two kind of most likely dark horses, if there is such a thing in the Tipperary Championship these days. But you know, two group winners who've done everything, you know, they asked of them. So like Drum might fancy this against kind of battle weary Sarahs.
Yeah, and we're good. We saw the fixtures there. We're kind of happy Canolty and ourselves got the extra few days on it. We thought it wanted to be Sunday night or Friday night in the stadium, so which would have been a quick turnaround. But Drum now are kind of sitting back, watching what we've done, you know, kind of seeing that right Shawnee Butler is danger man now, or personal danger man. Like, these are lads that we started from him on the bench that other teams might not been aware of, but you know, it is the kind of element of surprise at times as well, playing them. But ourselves and Drum were solid enough in the group stages, done plenty, you know, they're all doing enough. But they're, as I said, they're on your Drum must stay moving on and they'll get better every game. But this can be a cracking side in the stadium on Sunday. There's no way I'm hoping to get over, but it's hard to know what kind of we could start a few changes again in our team. So, you know, our 15 going out could be a bit different 15 again than played on last Sunday there, last Saturday there.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about Shamey, lads. I suppose we have to give him a mention. You know, what a career. You know, in the Tipperary jersey, it's always a funny one, you know, when they're retiring, because you will be seeing them, you know, going well on Sunday again. But, you know, what a career for Tipperary.
Absolute. Brilliant. And what a man too. Like, you'd see, like, I know we'll talk about his hurling and all that and all his great goals and the work he'd do for the team. Like, but what he does for the kids as well, like, you know, win, lose or draw, he could be feeling the most miserable in the world after a loss, and he'll still give his time and a smile to all the kids, that the hundreds of them that are flocking after him after every match. Like, this, you know, he seems like a gentleman. It's brilliantly, but some of what he's done for Tipperary over all these years, that has been absolutely phenomenal. And it's just, for me, it's another one of our golden generation, our All Ireland winners, the lads that brought us back in to be relevant again, gone. And it's just, you know, like, it's one more gone. And but, you know, thankfully in an age of social media and YouTube and all these, you know, like, camera phones now are as good as normal cameras back in 30 years ago, we'll get to see his goals anytime we want. We'll get to see his plays anytime we want, like, you know. And to finish the championship, finish his hurling as the all-time top scorer from play is phenomenal. And to score in every round of a championship, including the All-Ireland final, is, I don't think it'll be done again, you know. And the goals he scored that year, that's a YouTube package alone, you know. He's been a phenomenal player for Tipperary.
Career, Stephen, isn't it? And lads as well. How, I think, you know, I love to dig into how Eamon O'Shea got him. You know, he credits him a lot, but how he got him to kind of hit that next level, you know, from around 2013 on, kind of, I think confidence was a big thing. And also, I think just Eamon O'Shea, as we all know, is just has a ridiculous hurling brain. Just, you know, like the, how he got him to kind of just the space, the movement there. I think, like, you know, for Shamey, like, to be able to explain that to kind of younger tip that's kind of coming through as well would be absolutely brilliant. Like, because, you know, I think he went from, you know, the career cutter and the lads, you know, had his All-Ireland medal in 2010, but geez, he hit say two levels higher in the middle of the middle of that decade, you know, on fire year in 2016, and then obviously captained an All-Ireland as well. But, like, you know, I mean, a few injuries kind of slowed him down kind of latter years, but geez, I suppose it's a real interesting career, I think, to study.
Yeah, I think he always had the talent when he came onto the scene in 08. You could see he's long rangey lad, loads of hurling, bit cocky, celebrating goals, all this. Maybe the attitude wasn't 100%, which can happen with young lads when they have ability and they're on a county panel early. But, like, the amount of work that he put into his game when Eamon O'Shea took him under the wing, like, you forget the player that Shamey, you know, we've been so spoiled with him over the last 10 years, you forget how much work that went in to him becoming that player. Like, he always had the ability, but geez, he settled down so much, like, and he put in such work. Like the Shamey of the last 4 or 5 years, look at the size of him in comparison to the Shamey in his early 20s. He's easily 4 or 5 stone of muscle more than he was when he first came on the scene. Like, absolute unit, and it's pure work rate.
Yeah.
And, like, we've seen the work rate he had in the last 5 or 6 years as well. Like, whatever about his hurling ability and ability to get scores, he always worked his arse off every time he was on the pitch. There was no bullshit with him. He got down to work, no complaining. Just a model professional in every sense of the word, apart from getting paid for it. So, like, I think a lot of people are giving out in the last few years about shame. He's done this, that, and the other, but we're going to miss him something fierce, lads, and he's not going to be replaced easy. 40 goals from play, like, it's absolutely bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to see one like him again. He was, as you said there, kind of what it was different. He got the ball. He seen to where the ball is going, and there was 2 or 3 tries to the ball, and he was turning towards goal then and finishing. It was just a goal score. Like, you know, like, replace these lads. Like, you mightn't place them in our generation here, but, like, it was exceptional. And, like, even the drive in recent years to stay going, and doing what he's doing well, scoring goals. Like, and that's what he does. Like the postman, just delivering the letters.
Mickey Cal on him on Sunday, Sean?
I don't know. Can't say anything. Lips are tight.
You have some plan there, and look, the champions and a few more. That's going to be a cracker as well. So, like, you know, that's the... Oh, no, geez, we have to talk about Lochmore as well. The Housewives' Choice against Ross Gray.
What a club.
The standalone Saturday fixture. So, again, we maybe kind of suggesting the Kildangan game might turn into a bit one-sided. And you give Ross Gray a chance here.
It's hard to see it. Look, I said it about Holy Cross earlier, bonus territory. Ross Gray have hurled well this year. They're looking really good, Nick. Liam England has done a good job with them, like getting them promoted, getting them to a Munster final last year. And they've really, really shoved on this year in the championship. Just look really well organised, have a game plan that suits their players, they're fit, and they're confident as well. No lack of confidence with Ross Gray players ever. So, look, they're going in against one of the best club teams in the last 10 years in Lochmore. They have zero to lose. And Lochmore, to be fair, like they won all their games in the group, but it's hard to say that they've been outstanding or that they've reached a high pitch. So look, maybe they'll feel that they could cause an upset, but like it's hard to see past Lochmore in this one if the McGraths hurl anyway well. There's just too much scoring power there. So, Ross Gray will have a good crack at it. I'd say it won't be a wipeout, but probably looking at 5, 6, 7 points or thereabouts for Lochmore, maybe, coming towards the end.
Yeah, maybe even a bit more, to be honest, going on what I saw Ross Gray at the end of that Toon game when they might struggle for scores and then Lochmore just going to knock them all over.
The one thing is, there with Ross Gray, if they come out with a bit of confidence, it's a new there have been a quarterfinal four. I know it's something new for these players. Go out and just play a freedom, which they've been doing so far this year. And just trying even the first half, rattle them and see what he can give.
Like,
yeah, exactly. They could. They have some classy players and classy scorers. But the problem is, like, more scores ever from cornerback to corner forward, which is, you stop one lad, you know, that pop up scoring 8 or 9 points.
The only thing is, Lockmore conceding heavy. And Ross Gray have a decent forward line, like, they've, you know, Shane Fletcher, and he's in top form, like Alan Tynan, and he's playing really well. Conor Dooley could cause a lot of hassle in there. They'll have either O'Connor back as a sweeper, so they'll be looking to keep it tight. It'll probably be a high scoring game, but look, Lockmore are capable of hitting at least 30 points, even when they're not playing well, so.
It could be like a 330 to 225 or 6 game.
Could be a massive score, Could be.
Right, I won't ask you about the score in the Tuam game. Sean, can I ask the Tuam, that one? We presume we're all going for Lockmore.
This one has me, I was looking at Clonard today, and the more I kind of watched the back again there this morning now, and I just had a feeling for a Canoldy, but now my head has turned again. I think it's going to be a pint either side.
I think one of these
pint either side, and I can't call it, honest.
One of these is going to extra time anyway. So,
yeah.
Stephen, Canoldy or Tuam?
I'm going to go straight in with Tuam. And the reason being, I think Tuam have been flying it this year, you know, and they'll always be held in the highest esteem for me anyway, because you're growing up watching them, Lord and Tipperary, like, you know what I mean? But Canoldy, I think they have that small little monkey on the back of, this is, you know, they're fighting relegation even in this match. You know, if they lose this going to that small little monkey is going to be there until either they go along and win the county or they're bet. And I think at that level, Tipperary Championship quarter final, can they put all their energies and focus into one thing only without thinking about relegation? And it's, I don't think they will, because the reality is they're probably not going to win the county, you know, and so there's going to be a part of them that's thinking about the relegation semi-finals, and I think that could just knock a little bit of an edge off Clonalty, and that's why I'll go with Tuam Mhara as well, as I just think they're slightly better this year.
And drummer Sars.
Oh, Jesus. All I can say is I'm looking forward to it. How could you call it? Two teams that absolutely hate each other. Two teams that are playing well. Two teams that have key players, big game players. Like, you're talking about extra time here. Is this not a prime game for extra time? But we go the whole way to penalties. It's going to be some match, I'd say.
We'll have a battle then at the top of climb then. Last man standing wins then.
Absolutely. Sean would be in there too, right? Over the dugout. But like, I was waiting for, you know, Fintan O'Toole puts up the schedule for the matches during every Monday evening there on the 42. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like, they could do worse than putting Turles and Drum on TG Cahir Live. It's like, it could be some match.
It's a real game you want to showcase in the championship.
Not only two good hurling teams, but they'll be cutting lumps out of each other as well. So it should be a really top championship game. I think Turles might sneak it. I think Drum, right, they topped the group with two games played. I don't think they were planning on getting as big a trimming against the Brackens as they got. I don't think they were planning on even losing that game. But they went into it fair complacent with a fairly strong team out. I think they were missing maybe one or two players. Got an absolute clipping, and they haven't played a game since. Actually, they played football and got a clipping off of Clonmel, so it wouldn't have done them any good. But I think Turles are, you know, you're talking about teams being rested and whatnot, but would you not prefer to be a team with a bit of momentum coming through a battle against Nina, bringing players back like Owen Purcell? And I don't know if Paddy Creedon's going to feature or not, if he's out with a bold corner for this game, but maybe Turles after extra time.
We'll take that as Turles, but look, plenty to look forward to. Right, lads, Premier Intermediate now. We'll gloss over this there. St. Mary's went out against the impressive Gartnahoo second half performance there after overcoming Mine midweek to make the preliminary quarter. I suppose unlucky enough to be drawn in that preliminary quarter, being the having to play that game midweek. But look, those are the breaks. Gartnahoo, you know, kind of very slow out of the blocks, I'd say, you know, in that first half. It was very heavy up in up in mine and Mary's, maybe the legs kind of went a bit the last 15, 20 minutes. Look, when Gartner who hit the front with the second half goal, that Mary's the energy was sapped out of them. But look, Gartner who are a very good team. Gartner who and Cashel on, I have to check when this is on.
It's on Sunday,
3:45, and that's Holy Cross. I still fancy Cashel for this, lads, even. You know, I think Cashel, I think they're just a very good team. I haven't seen them both now play.
And they'll have the two Ryans back as well from suspension, Devin and Nathan. It'll be a fair push on for them. Yeah. Cashel still have a lot to prove. Like, this team in knockout games haven't been good. Like, they went to play Burgess last year in Bursley, and Burgess weren't hurling well. And they were expected to win that game. And when it was put up to them, they fell apart on the day. They'd done well getting through the group with the suspensions they had and all that sort of thing. But, you know, Gartner, who are a good team, and they're a team that were in a final only last year. I think they might be missing their captain now. I think he went off injured.
Davey Nolan. He limped off. Gee, and looked bad enough there. I think it was an ankle injury or something like that. So he'd do well to have a weak turnaround.
He's a good player for him. Yeah. So it might be a big difference, but I don't think they're going to be much in this game, whichever way it goes.
Yeah. Stephen, any thoughts on
Cashel? I think Cashel's biggest, biggest obstacle now from here on in is dealing with the weight of expectation. You know, I don't think they'll go into any of the games now as underdogs, and I'll talk about Gortnohoe now in a minute, but I think Cashel will win to most of their games, you know, favourites, or if they're not favourites, they're very, very, it's a very even affair. And I think dealing with the weight of expectation, like, you know, they've huge numbers, great setup, they're a one-town team, you know, like, they have to be making inroads, they have to be, you know, they were probably one of the favourites last year, and they blew up against Burgess when Burgess, you know, as Enda said, when Burgess put it in, sold it into them, you know, they stood back. They can't afford to stand back, because Gortnohoe are not going to stop. You know, they're going to keep going. I watched them a lot last year. And if you remember in the county final last year, although Ross Cray were, looked the better team, and all, but they worked themselves in a position that it took the Ross Cray goalie to pull off one of the saves of the year to keep them at bay, you know, when they got it down to in a score or two. So they're an excellent team, their own selves. They'll fancy it going up here. You know, they'd have that game Wednesday night. Will the game Wednesday night take it out of them a little bit? Possibly, because I do believe not Wednesday night, or the weekend, they had to put in a big shift there to get over Mary's. But look, I suppose a week's recovery, they'll take that. I think can Cashel deal with the expectations? If they can, I think they'll get over. They've a lot of good players. But if they go into that game anyway complacent at all, I think Gartner will turn them over.
I have to say that as well. It was a great double save from, is it Timmy Dunn, the Gartner Hill captain, kind of midway through the first half. Part, you know, fucking turning point there, because if you built up the lead for Mary's, but geez, a great double reaction save to prevent the goal, knock the second one over for a point. But like, it was fantastic, because he was the lad, I suppose, kind of overcarried for the last gasp, killing all point, you know, to put him in the preliminary quarter final. But there was a fair bit of redemption there. An excellent game kind of all around as well. So fair play to him. Sean, I suppose it's three things certain in life: debt, taxes, and Turles Arshes going out in the quarter final of the preliminary or the Premier Intermediate. So what's going to be different this year?
If you draw Carrick Swans, if you Burgess.
Burgess there again? Can you call them all about my dark horses this year? This is a Saturday.
Yeah, they're kind of unknown this year with the results. That group they're in was a strange group looking back at. Like, it's hard to know where you put them at that. They're safe in the last round. Newport Silvermines are fighting out for relegation. They just came over. They only had a small win over Silvermines other than the first round. I think by point field was all. Like, the last day they're through, but it's 3-12 to 11-12 against Connachty. But we don't know, Burgess, kind of unknown to us, but these North teams in this, like Laura, and them, like, they're going to be solid, good hurlers. Like, you know, we're coming up against 15 solid players, and we need our full strength, and maybe a few lads come up from June Ray to step up there. on Saturday there in Burris, 3 o'clock, trying to get a win here, but we'll be going in as probably underdogs anyway, but probably always are, but we have to try and get one over on one of these games.
And are Burgess actually any good? Because are they just beaten?
They're hurling well this year. They were beaten by Lurrand in our final in what was a very good game, but you know, Laura are no slouches. They're going really well themselves. They have Stephen Murray there. He's always been their marquee player, and he's still scoring heavy. But a lot of loads been taken off him. Stephen Kerwin's really stepped up there in the last 6 months. He's about 23-24 age bracket, and he's scoring really heavy from play. He's turned into a big unit. And he's going to be one to need watching from Turles' perspective. They'll have done a Maher back fit. He's been kind of coming and going off the team the last 2 months with different knocks and suspensions and whatnot, so he'll be fully ready to go. But what you have in Burgess is you have a really solid 16-17 players. After that, if it gets down to the nitty gritty, maybe Turles have a bit more off the bench, but Burgess are a decent team at this level, probably in the top four for me. So like, it'll be hard for Turles to get the win here, I'd say.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've only seen Turles once this year, but like, I didn't see them when Mikey Cattle was in the team. Made a big difference, Sean, I'd say. Centre-back, is he?
Yeah, centre-back. Kind of that kind of experience there. And the younger lads around him are rallying with him as well, which is great to see. Like, again, Sean Trace there, the right game. But like, Mikael now, he's like, you know, he has to go out and do it again, and Burgess be another level up from Sean Trace again on this. Like, that's the only thing.
Yeah. It's probably won't be easy for Burgess now. I wouldn't rule Turles out completely now, but I'd imagine if Burgess get good performances out of the two Stevens and Donna Maher and Johnny Mulqueen, they should probably be winning it. But you know, it's all under that.
It should be a good game. Two solid teams, like what I've seen this year. No, it should be a right cracker game. It could be as good as that kind of a senior game, to be honest.
Yeah,
we're not, like, you know.
You'd be happy with your 3-point defeat, Sean, in another solid year.
Yeah.
But Bemoan losing a few players to the senior team might have cost you, get you to the holy grail of a semi-final. So, Stephen, the big one. Home of Hurling, Clonmel, Swan and Killinall for the 180th time since been 10 years, what it feels like.
And, well, as you say, the 180th time, I think the familiarity of the whole matchup, I think, suits the Swan. I think the Swan are going to come away with this with a win. They've had the measure over Killinall down the last 10 or 15 years. You know, they made a breakthrough in a South Final in 2010.
Yeah,
2010, they bet Killinall, and they bet them a few years later in a South Final. They could have bet them even in a third South Final, I think, in Feddart there 1 year. But you know, the game up in Clonmel, the earlier game, the South Final this year, actually, although Killinall won it, you know, Swan nearly pipped it at the end, bar a couple of wrong decisions. I'll probably get a bit of flack for that again, for saying that. But
I know they're definitely wrong decisions.
You know, but they had him on the rack, you know, coming into the home stretch last few minutes. Now, look, if it's another windy day and they get the win in the second half, Kieran Lonergan's pockets are going to cause anyone trouble, you know, like, but they're great anyway. They'll take a lot of confidence from the first day, because they dropped a kind of a soft goal into the back of the net as well, you know. And look, as they said, if they had their time back, them two shots at the end of the game probably would have been different, you know. And I just, you know, I just think they have the measure. There's never a fear of the Swan, like when they're playing Kilnall, they don't fear them. They love playing Kilnall, you know, and I don't think it's the other way. I don't think Kilnall enjoy playing the Swan
I'd
as
say
much.
Kilnall will be happy enough with that draw. I know what you're saying. It's hard to get a read on how like the Swan result versus Aero kind of, you know, the amount by which they bet them by took me by surprise. But it's hard to know how what Aero were at this year. But like Kilnall, they seem a lot more solid in this year or than other years.
For me, it was a strange enough old group because I was actually extremely impressed with Sarsfields against Swan until the sending off. I thought they were excellent, you know, and I was thinking to me, like, I don't believe they would have lost the game if they didn't have the man sent off, you know, and they even had enough chances to win it while down a man, but Swan dug it out. So, you know, but then they had the first round game, they threw away a 5-point lead. You know, so I suppose what you could call that group was, you could probably call it inconsistent. You know, all the teams had good days and they had bad days and they had good times and bad times. So it is hard to get a good read of the teams coming out of the group. But I just think the whole familiarity thing between the South teams, the Swan have the edge on most of them. You know, they're winning underage against these teams all the way up, you know, and more often than not, they're beating them in senior as well. So, but then I suppose the question mark, will Bubbles Dwyer be playing? You know, mm-hmm. he'll obviously bring a huge boost to Kilnall. And
Nobody knows.
the best kept secret in Hurling. you know, but he'll be a huge asset if he's playing, because whether he's not going to be fully fit, we know that because he's out so long. But like we mentioned with Shane McCallan in his latter years, when he's on the field, he's going to take minding. You know, and so it'll be, I think it'll be a cracking game. There'll be a great atmosphere. There's always a great atmosphere in these two. So it'll be a cracking game now, but I'm going to give the Swan the edge.
And I'll give the Kilnall. So we'll agree to disagree there. I'm fully behind the Robins this year.
Small
now.
Field to suit the Swan, though.
Being Sean looking in her like, never bet on a South Derby, ever.
No, this game, I couldn't call. This is like, as you say, this would be different, a group game for these both teams. They know each other so well, like, you know, like it's probably a draw and Eden kind of want it maybe as well, but they couldn't call it. Fatton, Kilnall, I think, kind of do a bit more this year to make it.
The final game. Do we need to discuss this one? Laura are flying it.
Number one.
Laura number one in the power rankings. They're not getting off number one, I think, anytime soon. Clonakenny have drawn the short straw having to play them. Laura are flying it. I still think they won't. They won't be lifting Seamus O'Rean, lads, come the end of the day with their maybe leaky defence, but will they have enough to get over this one?
You'd imagine they will have enough. They're hurling fairly consistent stuff, you know, and they have as good a forward line as there is in the division. Bonner and Colin Fogarty, really. And the McIntyres, really, really good players sprinkled around the field. You know, like I wouldn't be writing off Clonakenny at the same time. Like the last year, they hurled really well for the championship. I think they've been kind of behind the eight ball this year. With Keane O'Dwyer has been kind of on and off the team with small injuries here and there, and he's your marquee forward. So, they have a good set of backs with Willie Ryan there. Dermot Ryan, you know, John Joe Ryan, all these boys, experienced players at this level. Good 14 or 15 players, but.
Right.
Hard to see them curtail and Laura attack too much. Like they're playing so well. Ken Hogan
I just wonder why, because Laura can throw in a bit of a stinker. It was a money goal that
brought
them to extra time last year in the intermediate. So
yeah, and they didn't play particularly well even in the last. I know they were through already, but against Portrow, it was tight enough now considering the players the Portrow are missing. It's only 3 points in it in the finish, but you know, Ken Hogan is a fair operator, lads. He'll have them humming. They won't go out under a bad performance, I don't think so. You know, it'd be hard for Clonakenny, but it probably won't be as one-sided as people would think.
And speaking of Portrow, do they have any of the lads back for the relegation to Tracy's this weekend?
I think it's already sewn up that mine are going to go down.
Yeah,
They're
I saw
so,
on
so
that
poor.
Wednesday night they were absolutely awful
I've
again.
never seen anything as bad, Kevin. Like, considering that they played 55 minutes with 14 players, and in that time, you completely blitzed them coming up to half time. Like they just don't know. They look like a team that are poorly coached, because there was the same situation in the Cashel game in the first round, and they just didn't know what to do with the extra player. It was like a free for all, that there was no instruction given. They didn't know what to do with spare players, and they're probably just too hopeful of Conor Bow and Caoimhe O'Connor pulling them out of the fire. Like, it's not good enough at this level. I just can't. Like we said it in the group after the match, watching it, I can't believe how bad they were. Tried Tossie Hamill up full forward that night and just didn't work. And it was like the last, the dying embers of a team that know that they're going down. Just one last Hail Mary punt and see if it works.
They're going to need to do something very different, I think. But like the
Yeah.
only reason I won't have them as automatic. I think going on the performances I've seen when they've been atrocious is, I suppose, the two lads on their team sheet at this level, Conor Bow and Garrod O'Connor. Like, I don't think he was fully fit against Mary's, maybe kind
Yeah.
of wasn't moving. So, like, again, an extra couple of weeks for an extra 10 days might make a bit of a difference there. But
Like
if I
they're two
wasn't.
game winners, like, aren't they? Like, if they can just click against Newport and they can win, but like what we're seeing so far, they haven't. Like, you know what? They've done the off, like, but they're due something. Like, for
Newport are
relegation
turning
games
out
take a
of it as well.
different angle altogether, don't they? It's
Oh,
mentally these games now are
they're
different
starting
altogether.
both centre back. I think it's a waste of time. I think you just go top heavy for these two games and
Full
try and
forward,
get
centre
them.
forward, Bo O'Connor,
Yeah.
I'd be going.
Two of them in the half forward line.
Or, yeah,
Go
kick the ball
top
in.
heavy. Get them score heavy.
Put Hamill
Just
back in the
go for it.
backs, maybe.
Put Tossie Hamill full back, put Kieran
Yeah.
Lyth centre back, put the two boys in the forwards and go for it. Like,
Go
because
for it.
Bo is not working centre back. He's not a centre back. He's just completely out of the game there, and he doesn't know how to. He's just not a defender. He just doesn't have the instinct there. He's better running onto ball, going towards goal. So I think just go top heavy with the two boys and hope for the best. But
Newport find themselves here again. That's, you know, the definitely a team, you know, not playing to the sum of their parts again. Probably, I don't know if there's an easy draw on this, but as I said, maybe kind of mine might be in a bit of disarray. But geez, I'd probably fancy mine in this, to be honest. Overall, Newport were just so bad against Burgess in particular. They just, like, I think they
have
scored
they
10
been
out
as
of 10
bad as
away from
mine
him.
though? Like, you couldn't say
Yeah.
that. Like,
I
I
know.
think it's
I can see one. Either of these teams winning it by 10 points, you know. Just like, I don't think this will be close. Could be wrong,
going to be a case of who is the least bad on the
yeah.
day, because they're both playing so poorly and there's no confidence there.
And I think that semi-final is a marked contrast to the other one, where I think Tracy's will turn up, and I think Portaro will turn up, and it's who can grind that out. Like, I just think, as you said, Port might be still suffering from, you know, the few absentees might be crucial. I think that Tracy's have been very competitive in all their games this year. Once again, they're just kind of lacking that extra kind of, maybe that marquee forward or whatever, just to kind of see him through games.
I think Port are blessed that the likes that mine I like I'd nearly put all my I put my mortgage on mine going down. But like they're Port are lucky that mine are in it, because if mine weren't in the competition, like they'd be gone. They're so stuck for numbers this year, and they've, as far as I know, there have two or three injuries coming into this game as well, and they've absolutely obliterated their junior B team this year, trying to get lads on the pitch and fill gaps and trying to find a formula to get the team playing well. They could have done so badly with Ruaidh Mulrooney and AJ Willis. I have a funny feeling if they lose to Tracy's, I'd say it'll be paying for a plane ticket for Ruaidh Mulrooney to come back and play in a relegation final. AJ Willis made the mistake of doing a full transfer to New York, rather than just doing the holiday one, which is he's been back in the country for the last month just watching the matches on the sideline. It's cruel.
Yeah,
Don't know
that could
what
be
he
the
was
difference.
thinking.
Yeah,
Oh, it could
that
have been a big
how did that
difference.
happen? Who
I
led
don't
that?
know. I don't know. I don't think he thought it through, to be honest.
Like, he made some
Jeez,
difference now at this level,
the
like,
second
just
three
in
didn't
these
deal.
games, like.
Oh,
Yeah.
unbelievable. He'd be one of the best forwards in the grade, like, if he was
Yeah.
playing. So they're just desperate to hang on, lads. They'll do anything for a win, but they're, in fairness to them, they're always a club that when their backs are against the wall, they'll dig out some sort of a result. So they'll be hoping
Yeah,
they can cling to that.
that's what I think there. That's why I do think that they will get out of it. But geez, again, I couldn't call this one. Right, lads, we better move on to the intermediate grade again. There's a probably, Stephen, you're going to grimace when you see this quarter final pairing, Drummond Inch and Golden Kilfeekle. What might have been? Give us your brief thoughts on that one first.
Look, playing against Drum, I actually thought they were an excellent team. You know, we played Golden in a challenge earlier on in the year. And look, I know you can't read anything into challenges, but you can kind of get a small little look at the team. But I think the over reliance on the two lads inside, say their name for me, Leamy, and there's another young fella there. I can't think of his name,
Yeah,
probably.
he's one.
But they were excellent. They're excellent players. But it was easy. No, that's the wrong word. You can get an idea of what they want to do very early, you know, and it's feed them boys. But I think the further out the field you go, I suppose the level wouldn't be as high as like a Leamy and the other young lad inside. I'm forgetting his name, but I think Drum have that level throughout the field. You know, I think they're an excellent team, and the runners from deep can do you serious damage now. And we got off the hook a couple of times against them with one of the runners from deep. I think one of the midfielders, you know, he loves that out late run. But I'm not sure who they might have lost to the seniors, if they've lost anyone. But you know, it's a what if. 1 point away from qualifying after the second game. And look, to be honest, if we were in Drum's position, if we won the group, I would have fancied our chances against Golden. They were the team I would have probably preferred to get most, and I
I
think
fancy
Drum
a
would
lot of
be
teams'
thinking
chances
the
against
same.
Golden.
You know, and I think Drum will come out comfortable winners in
I'll be
that
as
one.
popular as ever in West Tip, and I think that Knock a Villa could be under big pressure against Borland as well to make me popular in Kickham's country too. I think the form of that group might not be the strongest. Your own group, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I'd have Borland the favourites there, because
Big favourites.
Knock a Villa struggled. They struggled against Arevale in the second round of the game. And you know, just talking to a couple of Drum lads, they were saying, "No, I know it's probably making excuses," but they said they felt they performed extremely poorly in the first day, and hence the draw with Knock a Villa. But in fairness to Knock a Villa, they were excellent against us. But it would take, but that was we were extremely poor as well. So it's very hard to get a good read on Knock a Villa and what they could bring to a quarter final. But I'm going to focus more on Borland, and I think they've been well drilled the last year or two. We talk about cashing with signings. Borland have got in some excellent signings there at the start of the year, you know, under the wires. So they'll be well drilled. They're actually going really well. They've had a tough group with Kilchealan and Moneygall, so they'll be well primed for the county quarter final.
They had a good challenge
And
match win as well there last week against a team in a higher grade, so that they'll be happy enough with Borland.
yeah, I'd give Borland I'd expect them to win comfortably in the county quarter final, and they'll be thereabouts now come the final of it.
Any major feelings on those two lads, or we'll
No, it'd be
move on?
similar. I'd be fancy Borland as well, cover that easy. Good win in the mid as well. You know, they're coming strong. Players brought in, developed underage as well coming up. So I fancy Borland, Capon, Drummond. Other game, don't know. Hard to
And
throw in goal and what shows up.
we got a good comment about Borland there on the Instagram page a few weeks ago. I think somebody was asking, is there anyone from Borland playing for Borland this year? but yeah, they're going well. My own brother's involved there, and he reckons that they're going right well. So they're in a good spot, and I don't like they topped a very difficult group, like it was the group of death in the grade, like so. They're hurling well, and they've
Yeah.
few good young lads there. So yeah, it's hard to see
The
past them
old
getting
North
past them.
clash, Barca Cain against another talking team, Moneygall. Any chance for Barca Cain there? It's a tough one.
I think Barca Cain will give this a good rattle now. Winning it might be another thing, but They played in the North Championship during the summer, and Burns Kane didn't show up. They were bet after 5 or 6 minutes. I think Moneygall had 2-3 on the board after 5 minutes to no score, and they ended up hammering them. But Burns Kane, fairness, have settled down since, played really well in the group, scoring really heavy. I think they're the highest scoring team other than Kilsheelan, and that's only because Kilsheelan have an extra match played. So they've really settled down. In fairness, the Larkins are playing well there. They're scoring real heavy for them. So it won't be a wipeout like it was in the North Championship. But you'd have to say Moneygall done well to beat Kilsheelan the last year. They're missing a few players. I think there was a few lads gone to a wedding, which is usually a Carrick Swans problem. But they were gone out of the country. Brendan Toohey and Kieran Quinlan, and I think Cottle Hogan was missing as well. So they were missing three starters, and they still managed to win, which is fair tipping. You know, they're a fairly good team at this level. So it'll be a close-ish match, but I'd say Moneygall might pull through in the end.
Yeah, and I suppose Capoy Kilsheelan probably the tide around there. We have given, you know, we've kept them low enough in the power rankings. You know, if they win this one, they're definitely a main contender for the championship, but it's going to be a bit tough. You know, Kilsheelan, good win at the weekend again against Gahina Rinky, probably only a 4-point margin, I think it was in the end. So they needed a couple of goals there to see him over the line. Very competitive this one here, but Cap White hurling well.
Yeah, Cap White going very well this year, and you know, getting some good wins. I wasn't at the game there now, and the midweek game could have took a bit out of him, but when I heard the result and the closeness of the game was Keener Inky, especially after seeing him earlier on in the year, I'm very surprised with Kilsheelan. Was it a bit of tiredness to Kilsheelan, where Keener Inky, did they throw this kitchen sink at him? But you know, after coming out of a tough group, and you know, they had the midweek preliminary quarter final, and then you know, they got over Skeena Rinky. They also have football as well. They'd be a serious football club. Could the little bit of tiredness be setting in at the wrong time? You know, that, you know, I was very surprised with the closeness of the game against Skeena Rinky. Look, I seen Skeena Rinky the start of the year, and they were terrible. Now, I know they've turned it around. They got out of the group. I wouldn't have been overly impressed with the group they got out of. And that's not to take away they had a job to do, and they did it, you know. But I suppose it'd be one cause of concern for Kilsheelan going into the game, that they probably didn't get over the Skeena Rinky game as comfortably as they probably would have wanted to. You know, so like Capoeira will be fresh, they're well drilled, you know, they came out of their group handy. They topped our group, like, you know, and
more for fun as
they'd
well.
They'd be confident going into this game big time, you know. And look, Marky Ho, he's going to score 5 or 6 points. His brother Barry, huge,
yeah,
huge player for him.
He was on the bench against Moneygall, was it? So maybe
I think that was only carrying a knock as all, just resting him. You know, he'd be going.
And Butler
weekend
was actually quite good against Moneygall as well. He's a good joke there already in his first year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
After that, coming off,
he's strong as a horse too.
Yeah.
You know, this will be a good game. I think this could be one of the ties it around. This will be a cracking game this weekend now.
Pity it's actually not in the double header and the Carrick one anyway. That one's on Saturday at 2 o'clock in Care. Relegation here, there's definitely one handier match of the two. It's Kildangan who will be trying to avoid doing the double, going down from Premier Intermediate, I think it was last year. They face Shannon Rovers, probably unlucky. We spoke about that kind of group of debt with Kilsheelan and Borland in it. So Shannon Rovers were the unlucky team out there, finished last. And then the other semi-final, Upper Church, last year's Junior A champions against Arevale Rovers, were probably perennial relegation candidates at this level. So it's a, you know, that looks a bit of a final there for Arevale and Upper Church. You'd fear for the loser of that one.
Yeah, it's for me, it's a de facto final, isn't it? You just probably have Upper Church just struggling big time to score. I think they've only averaged 14 or 15 points this year per game, which is incredibly low. That's a half time score for most club games these days. And it's just not going to be good enough. Like Arevale just have a couple of marquee players that might see them through, Johnny Ryan and Mikey Dwyer. pretty good players at this level.
With Upper Church, they're in senior relegation as well now, you know. So
yeah, all the eggs will be in that basket. You're saying so they might pull a few lads as well, but yeah, they done well to get up to win the junior county last year. But in fairness, they lost a good few of the players that got them that county title. So it's always going to be difficult. It's interesting in the other match, George Hannigan, talking out to play against the team he's coaching.
Yeah.
So it'll be, I don't know how that's going to work. I've been working the last couple of weeks if he's been allowed to take trainings, considering he's going to be playing a lot of players he's coaching. So it's an interesting dynamic, and considering that, you know, so many of the players are overlapping to neighbouring parish, and just so many Shannon Rovers people now living in Killadengan have ties to the club. So it's an interesting one.
As soon as they're paired together, lads, you have to nip that in the bud as the club. You have to, if your trainer is playing for your other club, lads, he has to only have one priority.
Yeah.
And that's by hook or by crook, you get your club out of relegation. They'd have been absolutely stonewall bananas if they left them train the last couple of weeks. If they left them train away their team, my Jesus, madness. I'd agree with Enid. I think the relegation final is between Upper Church and Ara Vale. I think Upper Church, you know, losing James Barry as well this year, who had a massive influence in the Junior A final last year, would have been a huge loss. And then any of the lads, the seniors, and as you said, they're seniors themselves in relegation, so confidence around the camp, where are they getting it from? You know, they can't get it from the seniors because they are in the relegation. You know, it's going to be a tough one. I found Ara Vale, you know, they play hurling like a football club, like obviously which they are. They'll work the ball up to the field. They'll work it so far up the field, but they probably have a bad habit of working it too far. You know, it's a slow build up play, so it gives the other team time to get back, crowd out the shooting areas, you know, and they're not getting the shots off quick enough. I think if they can change that, you know, get the shots off earlier, like a football team wants to bring it into the 21 and get the shot off. They had that bad habit, I felt, against us, trying to work it into the 21, get the shot off then. But it's too late then, you know, unless, you know, they need to be hitting the scoring zones from about 40, 50 yards easy. And I think if they can get the points away, just keep the scoreboard ticking over, I think they'll have too much for Upper Church.
That's fair enough. Before we go, lads, big news down south, I suppose, big shock in the Junior A final. I suppose they'll be sick of me saying it's a shock when they were backing themselves all year. Clanmaloag, the Ogies, with a resounding win over Mile Rovers. The goals just kept on coming for them in that first half. I forget what, I think they got 7 in the end, was it? Or just they got 6 anyway, but that's a great win. It's a first Junior A South title for Clanmaloag, so Colin will be absolutely delighted, in particular, as I'm sure they all, it's quick enough turnaround for them now against Holy Cross. So
they probably got a short straw in drawing Holy Cross that they actually lost to me. Surprise, actually, Bracken's betting well in that. Was it well? A few points in, but
extra time.
Was it extra time? Sorry, jeez.
Yeah.
We are Bracken's well.
I'd be disappointed, Sean, if they're sober enough to feel, yeah. You know.
I thought Holy Cross would be stronger than that. So, like, Clonmelog now getting Holy Cross in the quarter final. No, they would have preferred probably any other team in any other division, be honest.
Yeah,
they're always knocking around in county stages the last 5 years, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised with Holy Cross. You know, they're building up now based on their recent underage success. So, you know, you wouldn't be surprised at all to see them intermediate, if not this year, but in the next couple of years. But, you know, look, my Rovers might have a say in that competition if they kind of rejig their line out, and, you know, depending on how the football goes, get a few lads kind of hurling that bit more as well. But, you know,
that was surely a surprise result, was it?
Yeah, the Ogre, maybe, you know, talk to Colin there, like, you know, he kind of fancy him, but I don't generally know to you know, the bystanders, I think that would have been a surprise result, really. Junior A, we played against both last year, all the juniors, and, you know, just the difference. We beat Clonmaloag, St. Mary's, second team, and my Rovers ran shoes for fun for goals, like, so, you know, just the difference in conditioning and all that kind of stuff. So it's a surprise, but, you know, you see it, like, the likes of Kieran Barrett, though, for Clonmaloag, you know, they're serious talent there, like, you know, when they put it all together.
Brilliant. It's brilliant for Clonmel. And for me, it was a surprise. And to be scoring two or three goals in any final is great, but to be scoring six and seven, it is unbelievable. And it's a nice, if reports are to be true, it's a nice dollop of medicine for my Rovers, who ahead of a South final trained football. You know, like that's, I, if reports are true, they trained football. The last training session ahead of a South final was a football session. Look, I granted they're a football club, you know what I mean, and they'll always pay more attention to football. But if your first team's preparing for a junior A South final, and you're going to go out football training and your last night's training leading into a South final, you deserve everything you get on the day. And
But
credit to Clonmel and the work that's gone in there the last few years.
tis gas to think, lads, that my Rovers won a county minor A hurling title. I'd say around 2013, even 2014, maybe 2014, because it was played under lights, I think, and Tipper were in the replayed All Ireland final that year. So, like if any other club had that,
We met them a lot of times up along the 16s and 14s and minor, they're always giving us everything,
There was a time there with their underage teams. They were excellent hurling. They were
Lives of the
winning all
Corks,
these
yeah,
things.
we're backbone
And
them.
you only need to go back 2 years. I think it was the 2 years they played a South final out of Dav at intermediate level. Ballingarry just down from senior or premier intermediate, whatever it was at the time. They had Ballingarry on the ropes and they were the better team in the first half until they got a couple of injuries. And then they got a few more in the second half and Ballingarry will take over. But my Rovers were winning that game. They were the better team that day until the injuries. And I've come up against them a good few times down the years. When they apply themselves in hurling, they're an excellent hurling team for the intermediate grade. But it's far easier for a hurling club to play football than it is for a football club to play hurling. If you take your eye off the ball like they're doing it, or paying scant regard like they did on a Friday night training session ahead of a South final by kicking football, then you're asking for the hiding they got at the weekend, you know. And brilliant for Clonmel. But the hurling
Not
men in
exactly
my
tearing up
Rovers did
trees in
have
the
a long
football at the
heart.
minute either.
Exactly. So there's something big there to be won, like you know. If they apply themselves, I'd still think they might have a say in the county yet. I think
They won't be
my
getting it so
Clonmel
near
will
the
suffer from
football.
the hangover all week. You know, they'll be hungover for the week, and whatever happens the next day happens the next day. But you know, you can't blame them for enjoying this week.
What do you think of having quarterfinals in the junior, giving the team a second chance? Clonmel went out and bet my Rovers, but they could play them again and lose them in the semi final or a final.
Sean, if we didn't have quarterfinals at intermediate level and at junior level, I would have never been able to progress up through the ranks because the both years we won the county, we lost the South final.
Last foot, yeah.
You know, we lost the South final in 2009 to my Rovers, and we won the county. We lost in 2019 when we were junior. We lost the South final to Skeena and we went down and won the county. So I'd be all for it, and I think that there should be a second chance once you reach a divisional final.
But the
You
wider
know,
thing
but
there,
that's that.
Stephen, might be to look at the structure of the Junior A Championship and to maybe make it an all county championship, like the three highest tiers. Now I know there's probably what about 14 teams in the South alone, so I don't know the structure of it. Might The discussion might be on another day, but the South Junior B has always been a joke, but the Junior A. I know you see just Grange Mhochlar finished probably the first week of June, if even, or the first week of July anyway, but even
Oh,
June.
I'd absolutely agree with that.
Just maybe junior A hurlers are serious as well, first teams in there, so
Yeah,
maybe they need a bit of certainty over their fixtures as well.
absolutely, I'd agree with it. And if they were brought in line to the same sort of structure of the other top three grades are, you know, you'd have no, I don't think you'd have any complaints from the junior clubs.
You need about five or six rounds to play a knockout South Junior A, but as the division is
Yeah,
defeated, isn't it?
there's only five teams in the north. Well, it's six now with Ballinahinch, and everyone plays each other once, and the top four teams go to semi-finals. So it's not a good
It's,
championship. Like
yeah, plenty of
six in the
games,
mid
but
as well. I think it was. It
it's
was
similar, yeah.
mainly second teams, I'd say, in the mid, is it?
And
All second teams, yeah.
all second teams. Yeah.
The West, probably, Clonmel are dominating, I think, but
Yeah, the bet Latin
yeah.
and. the final after extra time as well, actually.
For all the West, first teams will be down June or in a few years, the way things are going. On that note, we better leave it, because we'll be getting the love letters in from the West of the county all next week, I'd say. So, right, lads, plenty of action there. Thanks a million. As always, we'll chat about the games next week.
Sound, boys.
Good luck. Good luck.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.